Well, starting today, the Wells Visitors Center and Ice Cream Parlor will temporarily close the dining room, reduce menu offerings, and return to carryout only. They've had team members at Wells Visitors Center and Ice Cream Parlor test positive for COVID-19. Team members known to have been in contact with those individuals have been notified and are also being tested. The decision to reduce service has been made to protect the health of our guests, our employees, and the community. Wells says that they will continue to require all employees to wear gloves and face masks and undergo health screenings before each shift. Robust safety measures remain in place to protect both guests and staff, including social distancing along with a stringent cleaning, heightened sanitation protocols, and plexiglass guards. Their goal is to do what all they can to remain open for the guests and to continue to do so safely while providing necessary support to our staff. For updates and current business hours, you can visit the Wells Visitors Center and Ice Cream Parlor website. The Iowa Department of Public Health is reporting 392 more positive coronavirus tests, bringing the statewide total to 25,127 cases. COVID-19 death toll rose to 680 after three more Iowans died of the virus. 197 people are hospitalized, 60 patients are in intensive care, and 37 are on ventilators. There are currently 32 coronavirus outbreaks in long-term care facilities in the state. More than 15,670 patients no longer require isolation. Iowa's unemployment rate dipped 0.2 points in May to 10% during the COVID-19 pandemic. Iowa Workforce Development Director Beth Townsend said that given Iowa did not begin to reopen until May, it is not surprising that the jobless rate remains at 10%. She says that there are signs that more people are returning to work as the total number of claims decline each week. Iowa employers added 15,800 jobs last month. The state's unemployment rate was at 2.7% 1 year ago. The U.S. jobless rate was at 13.3% in May. Governor Kim Reynolds says that there is no hard and fast deadline for her to sign an executive order to automatically restore felon voting rights before the November general election.
I still want to make this a permanent solution, so I'm still going to continue next year to advocate for a constitutional amendment because I believe that that's the right thing to do. It's a priority of mine. We have an important election coming up, and so I have made it clear that I will do an executive order, and it will be done in a timely manner so that people have an opportunity to participate in this election. And other than that, you know, there's no hard, fast deadlines. I've made the commitment, and I think, you know, we'll get it done. But I think it's really important that we do it right and that we get the verbiage right, because that's the problem with executive orders. Whoever's sitting in my chair, it changes based on who's there next. And so the more we can just think about some of those things and some of the things that we need to do to make sure that we're doing it appropriately, it's really important to me.
Black Lives Matter organizer Matthew Bruce said that the group is seeking immediate action to ensure that felons have time to register, get their voter registration cards, and figure out where to vote. The protesters were back at the Capitol on Thursday, chanting outside the door to the governor's office as Reynolds held a news conference inside. Bruce said to cheers, "We're not playing no more. Give my family that right to vote." State Representative Dr. Tom Jennery of Lamar says he has mixed feelings regarding the restoration of voting rights to past felons. Jennery says that both chambers of the Iowa legislature passed the provision that past felons would need to pay the restitution costs before that they could have their voting rights restored.
The governor is going to issue an executive order that to restore felon voting rights. And I understand some of that, but there are certain things that if you've been convicted of a violent crime, a murder, a rape, a child molestation, something like that, I'm sorry, you've crossed a line and you should never have your voting rights restored. I can understand somebody that they were 18, 19 years old and they did something that was stupid and that they've led an exemplary life since. They've done everything that they were required to do. I don't have a problem with that, but there's just certain things that, I'm sorry, you just don't ever get those rights back.
Jennery says that there needs to be some consequences to some actions, and he says voting is one of those rights that should not be restored for any severe felonies committed.
If you choose to commit that crime, there are consequences, and that should be a deterrent to people committing those type of horrific crimes.
Iowa is the only state in the union that does not automatically allow past felons the opportunity to vote once their sentence has been served. Before adjourning last weekend, state lawmakers approved another year of funding for the state's cost-share biofuels program. Nathan Honstein, the policy director of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, says that the $3 million will pay for the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund.
Very important for the program, but for retailers in general, in lieu of what the U.S. Department of Agriculture is doing with their HPIP program, providing additional federal dollars to retailers to try to expand and offer higher blends of biofuels to consumers across the country.
The association's Renewable Fuels Infrastructure Program provides Iowa fuel retailers with cost-share grants to add the necessary equipment to their stations to offer higher blends of biofuels like E15, E85, and biodiesel.
It really has been a successful program. You've looked at the history program. I think this is going on 13th, 14th year of the program, where Iowa has put about $36 million into this program.
He says consumers benefit from this program, and it also gives a boost to the state's economy and to agriculture.
It offers more opportunities for consumers when they pull up to a local convenience store in their neighborhood, the opportunity to fill up with a better quality, lower cost fuel option and put that in their tank. That is also at the same time very good to the Iowa economy.
That measure passed overwhelmingly in both Iowa legislative chambers. The Iowa Supreme Court Disciplinary Committee is indefinitely suspending the license of the former Van Buren County attorney for sexual harassment. The district court ordered the removal of Abraham Watkins as county attorney in January of 2017 after multiple sexual harassment claims from an office assistant and assistant county attorney. The Iowa Court of Appeals reversed the decision due to the high burden required to remove an elected official from office. Watkins lost his bid for re-election in 2018. The Supreme Court Disciplinary Board recommended a 6-month suspension of his law license. Watkins said that he had a clean record and asked for a public reprimand. The Iowa Supreme Court increased the suspension to indefinite with no chance for reinstatement for 6 months. The High Court says that this is the first such case where there was no criminal conduct, but there were several mitigating factors, including the extraordinary circumstances where a county attorney was nearly removed from elective office.